Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
Hi, this is Darren Root for Intersection Live, and you are listening to episode 21 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I'd like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring today's podcast. I'm here with my regular host, John Higgins. John's a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit. John's also a national expert on all things digital, and more specifically, document management for accountants. So good morning, John.
Good morning, Darren. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for spending some time this morning.
My pleasure. We got a dusting of snow.
You guys got a little snow this morning?
Yeah, first time for the season.
It missed us in Southern Indiana, so Michigan always gets a little bit sooner than us, it seems like. This morning we want to talk a little bit about document security and to be a little bit more specific, sort of at the application level by DMS software and then also portal security. So with that, why don't you kick us off today and we'll talk about security.
Okay, and I think best place to start is just reinforcing or reminding ourselves, you know, why document security is so important. And, you know, it's just a matter of, it's good business practice, first of all, in terms of protecting the confidentiality of your client's information as more and more of it gets transformed to a digital format. But then you also have the regulatory side of it, where we're seeing, you know, increasing amount of regulation coming at us that's requiring us, you know, from a legal perspective or professional responsibilities to make sure we're doing the proper things to protect the unauthorized access to the information. You have things like HIPAA for, you know, any information that's medical related. You've got a number of states that are now, you know, forbidding the practice of sending Social Security numbers in documents through the email. And, you know, we can certainly anticipate that those regulations are going to continue to increase. So it's an important area, and it's one of those areas where it's, you know, if you're lazy, it's easy to not do it. But you just have to be disciplined and make sure you're going about it prudently and consistently. So,
John. Do you see you talked to a lot of people in the accounting profession today. Do you see that most accountants understand the need for security at this point, or is this sort of a new issue?
I think it's more of a new issue. They are becoming more aware that they have these regulations to, you know, about prohibiting sending tax returns as email attachments. So that's really what's getting a lot of the attention. But within offices, you know, I think it's a pretty small percentage that have actually enforced an internal password policy, other than just, you know, the login credentials that people are required to get into the various applications. And actually, even that's weak in a lot of organizations where people are pretty loosey-goosey with, you know, sharing their passwords, sharing their login IDs. And so that's really kind of where firms need to focus first and foremost is instilling their staff that, you know, there's a reason why everybody has a unique login and password, because if they're sharing that amongst their staff, then you lose the ability, you know, to really trace, well, who did what in the system. And you have some really nice functionality in most of these systems to track what has taken place. But if you have the wrong person using someone else's credentials, then it's worthless.
Yeah, good point. Well, I just wondered what your thought was on the awareness of the profession at this point. So this would be a good podcast to make people aware. So sorry to interrupt. Go ahead and take us down this path.
Okay, so in terms of the vulnerabilities you have as part of why you need to secure the documents, there's, you know, a few. One, I think, and I always make the point that I think the biggest vulnerability is we simply send an attached file to the wrong person via email. I mean, it's just so easy to do that. So that's pretty basic. Then you have the situation where you have to be concerned about somebody intercepting or hijacking the email, someone unauthorized getting access to the document, or you know, typically through an email transmission. That's probably, frankly, in the scheme of things, less likely. I mean, if you think about your individual client base, you know, who really wants access to that information? If somebody wants to breach security, usually it's somebody who probably knows about the document or knows about the person that's, you know, whose information is in the document. But the fact is you still have to take the steps to protect against that so that you don't have to worry as it's being transmitted electronically as to whether or not somebody might be able to intercept that document and have access to the contents. And then you have the when it's stored, the information stored on your system, the server or your desktop computer or laptop computer, and now you have your mobile computer, the smartphones, which have either files stored on them directly or certainly have the ability to have logins access from the smartphones back to the server. So you need to also have the protections, the security protections in at that level. So kind of think
you know,
of
John,
it as storage level security. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, on that note, you know, from listening to our podcast, you and I, and learning from you over the last year, one of the things that we had done just on that particular topic you were talking about, we used to keep a lot of passwords in Outlook. And, you know, the Outlook would then synchronize with our PDAs and our smartphones. So, you know, all of a sudden, all this data was being transmitted out to all of our PDAs. And that's one particular switch we've made. We've taken all those passwords and security items out of Outlook and moved those away from there so that they're not flowing out. Does that still seem like a smart thing to do?
Absolutely. You know, and those are the things like that you know, obviously, it's a good thing that you're aware of those. And, you know, back to your previous question, you know, what's the awareness out there in the marketplace among practitioners? And, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on inside firms that are extending the vulnerability and just, you know, unintentionally. So that's a good example of just being aware of a situation and taking some action to change it. But, yeah, you don't want to have that information available on the in Outlook if at all possible. Well, it's possible. It's just a matter of being disciplined not to put it in there. Again, so it's
because all that information flows out to PDAs, and you may have an ex-employee now. All that information's on their PDA, and I mean, there's just lots of challenges to that, I suspect.
Yeah, and in a PDA is, you know, one of the easiest things for people to lose. You're going through, you know, security at the airport, or you know, putting on your seat on your car, and you leave the car unlocked. I mean, people are losing their phones with pretty good frequency. So, and there are
sure.
To that point, there are some, like with BlackBerry, I know they have ability to wipe the system. So that if you know if an employee reports they lost their BlackBerry, the IT group can actually cause that BlackBerry to be completely wiped out. I have a BlackBerry. I don't, you know, carry sensitive information on it, but that's something I want to look into. But and I'm sure it's available in other phone models as well. I'm not that familiar with the specifics, but that's another example of a you know a security feature that is available to help you protect against a lost PDA. So if we go back to the talking about basically, let's talk about three levels of password or security, and we'll talk about it at the application level, and then at the document management software level, and then we can talk at the system or hardware level. And so, if we start at the application level, the you know certainly the most common documents or files that people are transmitting are Microsoft Office documents, as well as PDF files. And both in both applications, Office and Adobe Acrobat, you have some pretty strong password security available. In Acrobat, you have to, of course, have the Acrobat standard software. That's what allows you to create PDFs and to secure them. They have a very nice feature where you can set up what they call policies. And when you set up a policy, you define exactly what you want the security limitations to be. So it's not just securing it for access to look at the file, but you could also control whether someone who receives that PDF can print it, whether they could rearrange the pages at all, whether they could copy and paste components out of that PDF file. So you can lock it down pretty completely, or you can keep it simple and just have an access level password that's required for them to open the file. And with their concept of policies, you know, what we recommend is for firms to set up maybe just a couple policies, minimum security and maximum security, if you want to keep it simple. And so a minimum security policy would just simply limit or just apply a password that's required to open the file. Once the recipient opens the file, they'd have full access in Acrobat to do whatever they wanted. On the other hand, when we do maximum security, as I say, we lock it down completely so that not only do they need a password to open the file, but if they want, they won't be able to rearrange the pages. They won't be able to print the file. So maybe if you're sending like a draft of a tax return, you might want to lock it down with the maximum security so that all you want the client to do is have a chance to review it, but you do, certainly don't want them printing it out so that they could do something else with it. And so that's, you know, functionality that's built right in Adobe Acrobat, and it's you know, pretty easy to use. And by the use of policies, you just simply, when you have a document like a tax return open, you say, I want to apply my maximum security policy, or I want to apply my minimum security policy. And everybody in the firm can use the same policy to keep it simple also.
Okay.
So that's with Acrobat. Whether you use a document management system or not, if you learn about that functionality, you'll always have that capability. On Microsoft Office side of things, when you go into, and it's a little bit different between the releases of Office, but in Office 2007, you now have a feature where you can actually, if you're familiar, for those of you who have Office 2007, in the Office button, there is an option called Prepare. And Prepare gives you access to a number of things you can do to basically prepare a document for distribution. And one of the options is to encrypt the document. And so if you choose the option to encrypt the document, basically what it does is simply ask you for a password, and by applying a password to the document, it then encrypts the document. And so if you send it to someone in the transmission, it will be encrypted, and that way you're protected during the transmission. You know, not everybody's familiar with what exactly encryption is, but basically encryption is simply scrambling the contents of a file, encoding it so that when it is transmitted, you have to be able to de-scramble it or unencode it, and otherwise you won't be able to identify the contents. And so encryption is pretty solid security. And with Office 2007, it's really as simple as just going in to the Office button, choosing the Prepare option, and it'll ask you for a password to encrypt it, and that's all there is to it. You just, of course, have to make sure when you transmit the file to someone that they, on their end, have the password. And that applies, of course, to Office and to the Acrobat passwords. And you always have to be careful about that, because the tendency is to say, well, I'm going to send this copy of the tax return to the client. I've applied a password to it. I need to make sure the client knows what the password is, so I'll just embed that in the message text of the email. And that's exactly what you don't want to do, because then, you know, if somebody does intercept the email or accesses that email, they've got everything they need to know to get into the document right there.
Hey, John, so is your recommendation, let's say that, I mean, it is so easy to encrypt this document in Office 2007, as you said, so or add a password. Do you recommend sending a subsequent email with that password or making a phone call? What's the best way to get that password to the client at that point?
Well, yeah, if somehow you need to communicate it. I think it's okay, in my opinion, to communicate it through a totally separate email. And I know, Darren, you mentioned that your leadership community, you've established a policy where you consistently apply a unique password to each client based on a combination of information that only people in your firm would know, that you communicate basically one time to the client. And so that way, if you use a consistent password with a client, say ABC company, that they would always know based upon the model that you use, whether it's, you know, some combination of their client ID or whatever it may be, they can then always know that when they receive a document from you, you're always using the same password, so that you don't have to keep, you know, resending or providing them with a new password, because that can get very frustrating for clients. They're, you know, they just don't like to have to worry about all that stuff. So if you can get them trained that there's a consistent password, that's going to make it a whole lot easier for everybody. So those are, you know, the two main applications. Just realize in Adobe Acrobat and Office, you have, you know, it's very easy for you to go ahead and password protect the documents. At the next level, we're talking about now in the document management software itself. And this is really one of those features that will differentiate one document management system from another. In a document management system, you're typically going to have a login credential. So that's going to be your first line of protection, is that everybody has a unique login ID and password. So that's more for inside the firm. And I think I mentioned the point earlier, but what you want to make sure is that you really enforce a policy where people are keeping their login credentials private and not sharing them with other folks, because that just creates the potential for a whole different can of worms. Inside the document management system, it's not uncommon at all to be able to go in and establish at a user-by-user level which clients they can have access to. So you can either do it at the individual level, or you can put people into groups. So you could have a group called tax preparers, and you could identify who in your firm is a tax preparer, put them in that group, and then in your permission settings you say, okay, anybody in the tax preparer group, we do not want them to be able to access these 10 clients. Maybe they're really sensitive clients. And so you lock that group out of that particular set of clients that you've identified. And all this, again, is inside the document management system. This is one of those features that really differentiates one system from another. You can also, within that, you can not just limit whether someone has access to the files or not, but you could also control what they can do with the files. So some systems will allow you to preclude an individual or a group of individuals from emailing documents out of the system, or from printing documents out of the system, or from editing the documents. So you can have, it's not uncommon to see, maybe a dozen different permission settings. And so you decide, all right, for these users, here's the permission levels I want to make available to them. And for this other group, here's the restrictions I want to put on them. Now, as you might imagine, that creates some administrative work. Somebody has to manage all that, and you have to be careful not to overkill it either. It's always a balance between convenience and security, and I've seen it at both ends of the spectrum. Some people don't care about anything. They just keep everything wide open, which is, frankly, probably the majority. but then on the other end of the spectrum, you have folks that just are almost borderline paranoid, and they protect everything, excessively, and that can get to be very inefficient. So you have to find a good balance. And I think it's also important, if there is a situation where you have a breach of information, a breach of privacy, that you're at least able to show your client, and, unfortunately, if it got to litigation, that you were taking the prudent steps, you were taking, industry best practices, that, you were doing your best to control access to the information. Otherwise, it would be easy for someone just to show that you're being negligent, and that's not good in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So just realize in your document management software, as you look at different solutions, it's worth, having the vendor spend 5 or 10 minutes just to show you exactly what are the security features available in the software. Most of them have a very detailed audit trail, so you can see all the activity that took place in the system, who worked on what document, did they email it, did they print it, did they edit it. So that's just a nice byproduct. It doesn't, take any extra work on the user's parts to keep track, maintains that audit trail. So you want to make sure you get yourselves familiar with that.
One thing that comes to mind to me, John, is that, in the last few years, with Office 2007 and the more current releases of Adobe and the document management systems that are out there today, is all the vendors have taken security and made it much more easy to apply and to use. And so at this point, if you haven't revisited those specific features within these applications, it's very easy to apply, and you need to start thinking about policies. Isn't that a takeaway you'd have?
Yeah, that's a very good point. That it is, they are not only making the security features better, but they're making them more convenient. And what we see in some of the document management solutions also is where their functionality that allows you to email a document out of the system to a client, it gives you the opportunity to apply passwords at that point in time. so that that way you don't need to necessarily secure it within the document management system. You can just wait till it's at a point where you're going to be sending it outside the organization via email attachment in that case, and that's when you would encrypt it and apply a password to it. So that's another example.
But in a lot of states, John, even let's say I have a document inside my document management system, I want to email it to the bank and it's a tax return. In many states right now, just applying a password to that is not sufficient, right?
That's correct, unless it's encrypted. My understanding is that in many of the cases, if it's encrypted, that is acceptable. But you have to look at each state's rules individually. But, yes, just applying the password does not cut it.
But being encrypted is different than applying a password. So, you know, our listeners have to understand that there is a difference. And if their document management system is only applying a password, it may not be good enough.
Yes, exactly. And that, you know, brings us really to the next level. We mentioned portals. You know, that's the concept. We've had some podcasts on this where it's an extension of the document management system where you can publish your client's files to the portal. You can post them on the portal. And that gives then you give your client a login credentials to get access to that portal through a link on your website. And at that point, you've eliminated your responsibilities regarding the transmission. You're able to comply with any of the regulations about sending confidential information via the Internet because the portal is where the information is stored. Your clients are coming and getting the documents and the files from the portal. So it's really their responsibility as far as the security of it as they're pulling it from the portal back to their local computers. And more than that, the portals generally will have very strong security features built in and around them so that just the very nature of keeping the documents in a portal, you're increasing your security controls considerably over the typical, you know, firm server that you might have in your office.
Yep, very good point. So we've secured documents that we're emailing out, and we're talking about securing documents that are in our document management system. What else do we need to be thinking about?
Maybe as a wrap-up to talk a little bit about password policy. And, you know, everybody has different approaches to establishing what kind of passwords they use. But as a rule of thumb, the recommendation for best practices for a password is that it should be at least 8 characters, alphanumeric, and one of those characters should be a digit, and one of the alpha characters should be uppercase. And so if you have that combination, you know, as opposed to going with like a 4-character ABCD password. Now, some software doesn't even let you do that, but in applications where you have complete flexibility in the size and type of password, just, you know, stick with 8 characters as your standard at minimum, and at least one digit and at least one uppercase alpha character. And that gives it, that just by doing that, it makes it harder for someone who really wants to run an algorithm on a file to see if they can't crack the password code. You also, and unfortunately, you have to be careful with some of the application software that there are password crackers out there. The software that you can buy that sometimes is very inexpensive. I could go out and Google to the Internet and I could find I think it's actually called Password Cracker, for like $50, and that will let me, you know, crack into the password, the open level password of a PDF file. So, you know, all these things we talked about, it's when we talk about document security, it really has to happen in layers. So that's where you have to make sure ultimately that you're encrypting the file, that your password protecting it, and that you're also, you know, using something like a portal where you have that level of protection by just limiting access to the system itself in the first place.
Sure does promote portals quite well, because then you don't have to worry about all these things flowing through emails.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the factors that's really pushing so many firms to it. I think I was surprised just to hear at your leadership community that Thompson has said they have 300,000 portal users. That was
customers. I wouldn't be surprised to see that hit a million in the next couple of years just from the standpoint. I mean, Thompson in particular just changed their pricing strategy to make it very easy for firms now to adopt mass portals, because they're not pricing them on a per-portal basis anymore, and they're just giving you sort of mass portals for one fee. So all of a sudden it makes it sort of a no-brainer. And I know that CCH is doing the same thing with their new portal solution they recently introduced. So, the major vendors are really making these portals easy. And we also have SurePrep and LeapFile, which is a very inexpensive portal solution. You know, it's not so much a document management solution, but it's a portal solution. So really, cost shouldn't be a barrier today to getting portals for all of our clients.
Yeah, there's plenty of options out there, and they're getting, you know, more affordable all the time and easier to work with, as you say. So it's definitely driving a lot of practitioners to use that as a solution.
Well, John, we're running out of time today. Anything, any final thoughts for wrapping up?
Don't get intimidated too much about all this discussion about security, because it can be overwhelming when you start to think about all the vulnerabilities and what it really takes to truly secure your system. But as I said, you want to at least take the prudent steps to make sure you're doing what's reasonable there, and of course, you know, complying with any of your regulations or state laws that you may have to comply with, and just make sure, you know, you're doing what you need to there. And it's going to be one of these things that evolves. The tools are going to continue to get better. The acceptance on your end as well as on the client's end is going to continue to increase because people want to keep their information secure. And so start with the basics, you know, application-level passwords, encrypting the documents. And when you're looking at a document management system, just understand what features that they offer in this area, and that should be part of your scorecard, your evaluation scorecard.
Well, good, John. Thanks. You're always a wealth of information. I truly appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. So that's it for us today. And until John, this is our last one for 2009. So you and I will talk again in 2010.
Okay, great. Well, have a happy holidays to everyone, and look forward to talking to you in next year.
Thanks, John.
Okay, Darren.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.